We are back, Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and now we come to the important segment when, ladies and gentlemen, we got nothing.
You know, we've had a lot of these kind of segments through the years.
I got nothing here. I don't know about you. I got nothing.
Well, I'm trying to think, coming into a work today, I do my usual thing. I drive to the train station. I get on the train. I get off at Grand Central. You know, what I saw interesting, Grand Central today, though, I saw actually a lot more homeless people than I normally see, because I think authorities generally try not to have them
It is far better.
Disturb, which I don't like. I think they need a place to go, and they got to stay warm. And it's cold out here today.
It is far better than it was. I can remember, and I can actually tell you the year, 1977. I'll never forget it. I used to have to travel to Philadelphia. I was commuting to Philadelphia for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some work for WPVI, the television station down there. And we literally coming down the staircase, you know, Madison Square Garden, which is above the Penn Station, going down that long staircase, we literally had to step over bodies by the hundreds. But I mean, all the way from that long corridor, they were lined up. The police would have them there, and they had to leave by 6 o'clock. And I was there at 5, always there at 5:30, give or take. And they were just by the hundreds lined up all the way to the gate, to the ticket gates. Unbelievable. And that went on every morning during the winter.
You know, I still think that we who are more fortunate than those who are homeless, and granted, some of the homeless do not help themselves.
No.
But so many try to get out of that circumstance and are unable to do so. I still think that we individually, not necessarily collectively like a government entitlement, but I think even we individually have a responsibility sometimes to look a homeless person or somebody who appears to be in need in the eye and see, what can I do to help?
Yeah. It's a very, very difficult situation. They're dealing with this issue now here in the United States with veterans. Those men and men and women who are living in their cars, who are living with children in their cars, in vans. And I am working with a group now out of Miami, Florida. By the way, Miami, Florida, because of the weather situation, has the largest population of homeless veterans in the United States.
Because it's generally nice weather. They're not going to freeze to death. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And they are there. They note there may be as many as 20,000.
Well, you know,
that's extraordinary.
I saw something on, I think it was either YouTube or one of those things, where a man walked up to a homeless man and gave him $100.
Yes.
And then secretly followed him with a camera to see what he would do with $100. He was figuring that he'd probably go into a liquor store and come out and maybe, you know, get toasted. Who knows?
Yes.
But he didn't. He went into a grocery store and he bought food and he took it back and shared it with other homeless in whatever conclave that he was, you know, hunkering down in at that particular time.
Yes,
the guy went back and admitted to him that he did that and was surprised and gave him another $200 or $300.
It's and God bless him for that.
Yeah.
You know, I did a story on the homeless about 20 years ago, give or take, for ABC, friend Donnie Dotson, ABC Television. And I was out there with the crews on this one. We shot it over a 2-week period of time. And desk announcer was with us at the time. His name right at the moment, I can't remember. Bill Butel. Wonderful newsman for WABC here in New York. And we covered that story, and it was a biting cold winter in 1988. Oh, it was cold. It was cold. Just like this winter was. But I got a clearer understanding of the picture. I didn't understand it until I spent 2 weeks out there, literally out there, some nights sleeping in vans, just like they did, to get the story, you see. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating, and sad. And sad. There's so many agencies out there of all denominations that are trying to help.
Well, let me go back to my original point.
Yes.
Don't we, individually have a responsibility when we encounter somebody in need to help.
Yes. Yes, we do.
It doesn't have to be a lot of money, but no. I think we do have some kind I and the other are one.
Yes.
Kind of
we are
attitude.
All, we are all one and the same. And there but for the grace of God goes you.
That's what my mother used to use that expression
really?
All the time.
I don't hear that used much anymore. Well,
now, isn't it interesting? We had absolutely nothing to talk about in this particular segment.
And, we do carry on.
And well, it is. It's called BS.
Well, we seem to do it, and we've made a living out of it for all these years. Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino, America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Are you too good at your job? You can be too good for your own good, according to Tag and Catherine Goulet, authors of Dream Careers.
Why is it bad to be so good? Because your boss doesn't want to lose you, so he or she won't help you get promoted.
What's the solution? Make your desire for a promotion crystal clear to your boss. When you see an opening you're qualified for, let your boss know you want it.
But don't stop there. Go the extra mile. Also offer to help them find and train your fabulous replacement. When your boss knows you'll help make the transition easy, they'll be more likely to get behind your efforts.
And you'll be more likely to get the promotion you want, the one that leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you marry for love? I mean, really, are you sure? It's a wonderful, proper motive to marry for love, but it may not be the motive in every marriage. Here's the social science of it. Here's the stats, too. When it comes to the first marriage, 3 out of every 4 brides, they say they marry for true love. And when that marriage ends in divorce, well, kind of like deal or no deal, the odds go down. The second time, 1 out of 3 brides marry for love. And if that one goes south, now only about 1 out of every 6 brides marry for love the third time. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, if you want to improve the odds that the love of your life is indeed the love of your life, don't be so quick to tie the knot. Date for a while. The longer you date, the greater the odds your marriage will be truly forever. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.